الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم، هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر، سبحان الله عما يشركون، هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى، يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض، وهو العزيز الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer and nourisher. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread on his path with utmost sincerity until the day of qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, firstly, it is binding upon all of us to thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessed opportunity that He has bestowed upon us, where we get to study the great science of His glorious names and attributes. For it is only through His tawfiq and His blessings that such sessions are started. And it is only through His tawfiq and His blessings that these sessions, that we get to involve ourselves in these sessions. And finally, once again, it is only through His tawfiq and His blessings that sessions like these go on till the end. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this series a source of benefit for all of us in this world and the hereafter. And may He reward all those who help in kickstarting this series. And may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this gathering of ours a gathering where angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us. And may Almighty Allah make high mention of us in the seven heavens. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, in regard to this great science of the most beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before we dive into this great ocean, there is a widely spread misconception and an erroneous belief, you could call, which I wish to clear before we go ahead. And that is that the glorious names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are limited to 99. The names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are limited to 99. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah are not restricted to 99. As the names and attributes of Almighty Allah are infinite. They are infinite. No one has reached the bottom of this ocean. No one encompasses the knowledge of all of His names and attributes. Such is the might and grandeur of our powerful Creator. But yes, according to the famous hadith which is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةٌ وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمَاءٌ, that Almighty Allah has 99 names. And for emphasis, the hadith goes on, مِئَةٌ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا, 100 minus 1. In other words, 99. Rasulullah then goes on to say, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, the one who makes أَحْصَاهَا, the one who does أَحْصَاهَا of it, shall enter Jannah. Now my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam,
the term ahsaha, which is used in the hadith, does not merely mean memorize, like how a parrot does. For at times a person who does not even understand the meanings of these names, does not even believe in these names, a person like that also can memorize. And by his memorizing, that will not result in him being granted entry into Jannah. On the other hand, the word ahsaha is much deeper and consists of not one, but a few action items, which in total only will result in an entry ticket to Jannah. The primary action item, of course, is to memorize all of them. The primary one is to memorize all of the 99 names, which is mentioned in that hadith. In another hadith, the sequence is mentioned. So it's to memorize all of these names. And it's not really a difficult task, as when we think of how many nouns we remember each and every day, how many people's names we commit to our memory each and every day, how many telephone numbers we have in our minds and memories, how many physical addresses, email addresses, passwords to all of our accounts, Gmail, Hotmail, Facebook, Twitter, all of these we commit to our memory. But now I think after the introduction of the new operating system for Apple and its new phone, our memories are going to become even rustier, as we won't be remembering passwords anymore, as they are introducing a high-tech fingerprint scanner. So our memories are going to become even rustier, because we don't have to memorize passwords also. But nevertheless, taking all that into consideration, taking a bit of time to memorize the names of our powerful Creator is the least that we can do. Is the least that we can do. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us to memorize them. So action item number one is to memorize them. And next on the list is to try to understand and comprehend their deep, profound meanings. As I said earlier, there is no point in memorizing these names like a parrot does. There's no point. We need to study, we need to seek knowledge in regard to their profound meanings. And afterwards, the third action item is to use these beautiful and glorious names of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our day-to-day supplications. And the most beautiful way to do that would be to match the names, the relevant names of Almighty Allah, in context to our du'as. For example, the name Ar-Rahman. When we say Ya Rahman, the most beneficent. Ya Rahman, the most beneficent, have mercy on me. Ya Ghafoor, the most forgiving, forgive me. Ya Sami', the all-hearing, listen to my supplications, listen to my invocations. So we use the relevant name in context to the relevant dua. And this unique way of invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is further emphasized as Allah Himself commands us to do so. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. To Almighty Allah belong the most beautiful of names, Asma'ul Husna. فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, invoke him using those names. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ, and leave the company of all of those who blaspheme his name, who put down his name. سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, for they will be rewarded, they will be recompensated for what they have been doing, for the sins that they are doing. This is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final action item is to worship Almighty Allah through these names. Ibadah, ta'abbud. And worship in the sense, make dhikr, to remember Allah, to remember Almighty Allah through these names, as Almighty Allah commands us in another place. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. O you have believed, O you have who have brought iman, remember Allah excessively. اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. Remember Allah excessively. وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. And exalt Him, glorify Him morning and evening. Another command of Almighty Allah. And part of ibadah, pondering, contemplating, reflecting, all of these, reflecting on the names of Allah, all of these are part of ibadah. So in other words, to have the ilm of Allah's glorious names, to have the ilm, to have the knowledge, plus the irfan, the ma'rifah, the deeper recognition of these glorious names. And that, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is the whole purpose of this series. As for example, we know that Allah is Ar-Rahim, that He is the most merciful. We know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent. But have you ever contemplated on the fact that His mercy is being manifested to us in our day-to-day lives? Have you ever thought about it, that it is helping us battle every single problem in our lives? We know that Allah is Al-Basir. Al-Basir, the all-seeing. He can see everything. He's not confined, His sight is not confined to one location. Say, if I was looking straight, I can't see what's happening behind me. My sight is confined. If there is a wall, I can't see past it. But Allah's sight is not confined. He sees everything. We know that. We have affirmed it. But do we really affirm it? That's the question. For if we really do affirm that Allah is the all-seeing, we would not commit a sin in reality. But what we are doing is we commit a sin. We are so weak that we commit a sin. And we are worried about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to hide our sin from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to hide it from their sight. We want to hide it from their eyes. We don't want them to see us. But just think, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the Almighty Allah, the all-powerful Allah, who has given eyesight to over 7 billion human beings. You think that Allah is blind? You think that Allah does not see us? We should be more worried about our Creator. We should be more ashamed in front of our Creator than in front of the creation, in front of the human beings. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, finally all of these thoughts have to become actions. And there is another narration which is very similar to the above narration which I mentioned, the Ahsaha narration, لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةُ وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمَى. The only difference in that narration is that in place of the word Ahsaha, the word which we were dealing all this while, the word Hafidaha comes. In place of the word Ahsaha, the word Hafidaha comes. Now that word too has a couple of meanings, one of which is to memorize the names of Allah. And secondly, Hafidha Yahfadu means to guard them, to guard these names of Allah. So how do we guard the names and qualities of Allah? It is by implementing and bringing them in our lives, making those names, those qualities manifest in our own lives. Now this particular manifestation, it's an important point, this manifestation is divided into two. Number one, there are qualities which Allah the Almighty would want us to implement. And number two, there are qualities which Allah the Almighty would not want us to implement. For example, the names Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, both denote the meaning of mercy, but there is a significant difference in the recipients of Allah's mercy between the two names, which we shall discuss in the relevant session. But nevertheless, both the names denote mercy. And as we understand and contemplate these qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to bring it into our lives. So we need to become merciful to one another. We need to start showing mercy to one another. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also reported to have said a narration which goes along the lines of Irhamu man fil ardi, yarhamukum man fis sama. Be merciful to the inhabitants of the land, and the inhabitants of the heavens will have mercy upon you. So now, moving to those qualities of Allah which we should steer clear of, the example for that would be Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir. Now what Al-Mutakabbir means in the Arabic language, it comes from the word kibr. It means the one who is haughty, the one who is arrogant, the one who is throwing his pride around. So that particular name, when we use it amongst us, the creation of Allah, it is not a name which is used to praise someone. When you say, you know, he's haughty or he's arrogant, you're not denoting praise to that person. Rather, it is something negative. But in the case of Allah the Almighty, that sifa, that quality, it has a positive meaning. And what we mean when we talk about Allah who is Al-Mutakabbir, it is Allah the one who is superior above all. He is the one who has all authority and all rights to express his superiority above all of his creation. Now, see, that quality, for example, cannot be brought into our lives. In no way can we implement that quality in our lives. As there is something that completely copyrights of Allah. It completely belongs to Allah, the Almighty. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said on the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu an, قال الله عز وجل الكبرياء ردائي والعظمة إزاري فمن نازعني منهما فقذفته في النار. Or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that Allah the Almighty is saying, this is a hadith Qudsi, he's saying that Al-Kibriya'u Rida'i, pride is my cloak. Pride is my cloak and greatness, grandeur is my robe. The one who competes me in respect of either one of the two, I shall cast him into the blazing fire of hell. So this hadith shows us that this sifa, this quality is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to steer clear away from it. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this briefly sums up the meaning of the word ahsaha in the noble hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Almighty Allah help us all to make ihsa of these 99 names and by that, act upon this hadith and guarantee our entry into Jannah. Now you might be wondering, he started off saying no 99 names and he keeps on saying 99 names. I'll explain as we go. And may Almighty Allah make us also sincere mu'minun. So coming back to the number of the names of Almighty Allah, the hadith that I mentioned now, the Ahsaha hadith and also the Hafibaha hadith, both of these hadith say that to Allah belongs 99 names. Now this hadith, these two hadith, do not contradict what I said in the beginning. They do not contradict what I said in the beginning that the names of Allah are infinite. Why? Because these two ahadith point out and highlight 99 names of Almighty Allah from His infinite number of names. These two ahadith, what they do is they just highlight and bring out 99 names from the infinite number of names. Due to these 99 names being extra special. And what we need to understand is that all the names of Almighty Allah, the ones we know, the ones we do not know, all of them are special. All of them are special. Lillahi Asma'ul Husna. You know the word Asma'ul Husna? Al-Husna in Arabic is in the scale of Ismut Tafdeel, which means in its superlative form. You see, Kabir means big. You say Akbar, the most biggest. There's nothing bigger than Allah. Allahu Akbar. It's a superlative form. Likewise, from Ahsan, it's in its feminine form because Asma is feminine. It's a plural. So in general, plurals in Arabic are feminine. So due to that, it's come in its feminine form, which is Husna, which means that the names of Allah are just not beautiful. They are the most of Allah. There's nothing on the face of this earth or in this universe for that matter which is more beautiful than the names of Allah. So all the names of Allah are special, are beautiful. But these 99 are highlighted and brought up because they are extra special. And that is the reason why the particular two ahadith focus on them. Now there is another hadith in Tirmidhi where these 99 names, even the 99 which we know and most of us have heard, these 99 names are mentioned in a sequence, in an order. But the only problem in that hadith is, the authenticity of the hadith has been disputed. Due to a narrator named Walid ibn Muslim being in the chain of narrators of that particular hadith. But now, anyways, based on other narrations, such as the one where our beloved teacher sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and please remember salawat whenever I mention Rasulullah's name, he teaches us very beautifully how to invoke our Creator. Rasulullah teaches us, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكْ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكْ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكْ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِندَكْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us. Oh Allah, as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak. Oh Allah, I ask you, it's a way of invoking Allah, supplicating to Allah. Oh Allah, I ask you through each and every name that belongs to you. I ask you. And I ask you through the name that you have named yourself with. Who better would know the names of Allah than Himself? He's the one who has named himself. He knows all the infinite number of names. So he says, Ya Allah, I ask you through each and every name that you have named yourself with. And I ask you through the names that you have taught those special ones who are close to you. And I ask you through those names that are hidden in your knowledge alone. So based on this hadith, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, most of the scholars in Islam have come to a definite conclusion that there is an infinite number of names for Almighty Allah. As Rasulullah is highlighting in the hadith, I ask you through those names which are hidden in your knowledge. So if you say 99, then what about the ones which are hidden in the knowledge of Allah? So those are only with Allah and none knows of it. So they are an infinite number of names. Some of which have been taught to mankind, and some of which have been hidden in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. So now, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us move to the purpose behind us having to study this great science. If we were to take the Quran, we would find that in many a place, Almighty Allah ends most of the ayat with one of His glorious names. One or two, in most of His ayat. Okay? We can't cross a single page the Holy Quran, in the Noble Quran, without having to encounter at least one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah ghafurur rahim. Inna Allah tawwabun hakim. Inna Allah alimun hakim. Inna Allah shadidul iqab. So many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, behind it is, it is not as simple as that, you know, Allah is bringing these names to make these ayat rhyme. That is not the reason. But rather, it is to make us aware of Almighty Allah. It is to make us aware of Him, of His attributes, of His qualities. When we take the Ayatul Kursi, for example, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Allah the Almighty, Al-Haq, ever living, eternal, infinite, Al-Qayyum, who is sustaining this whole universe, which has up to around 200 billion galaxies. La ta'khudhuhu sinatum wa la nawm. Neither does sleep, nor even a tiny slumber ever overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very beautifully describes this in a narration. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامْ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامْ. Indeed, Allah does not sleep. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامْ. Nor does it befit His Majesty that He should sleep. حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. Allah's veil is of light. Is of light. لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْهِ مَنْ تَهَى إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The veil of Allah is of light, and if He were to ever remove it, remove that veil, the light of His face would burn every single creation to the extent where His sight would reach. Allahu Akbar. That is the grandeur of Almighty Allah. So these names are mentioned so that we can understand Allah. We can contemplate on the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the more we know about someone, the more we love that person, the more cautious we become in regard to overstepping any lines or boundaries set up by that person, lest we may anger him or her. Likewise, it is the same case with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our beloved creator. The more we know him, the more our hearts are filled with taqwa. The more our hearts are filled with khushu'. The more our hearts are filled with ikhlas. The more our hearts are filled with khudu. The more our hearts are filled with his love. And the more our a'mal become filled with spiritual energy and devotion. And then the more closer we become to Almighty Allah. As all of us seated here, including myself, we are all sinners. We all sin on a daily basis. None of us can claim to be sinless, ma'soom. None of us. All of us are sinners. And all of us need the love of Allah to penetrate our hearts. Our hearts that have become hard as rocks, we need them to become soft like cotton. We need the qurb of Allah. We need the closer so that we will be victorious in this world and the hereafter. So for all of that, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this great science of the names and attributes of Almighty Allah, it is the stepping stone that will lead us to the qurb of Allah, the closeness of Allah. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, what I prepared today was a brief introduction about this great science and as to why we need to study this science. And I hope that my words have hit home. And it has instilled an eagerness in our hearts to know more about our beloved Creator and His glorious names and attributes. So, bi-idhnillah, these sessions will take place every fortnight, except for this month, as we'll be having our next lecture this coming Friday, same time inshallah. And with the help of Allah, we will try to cover as much as possible, as much as possible. For at times, some names of Allah might take a session or two. On the other hand, at times we may even be able to complete two or three names within one session itself. So, in our next lecture anyways, we shall discuss about the grandest name of Almighty Allah, which is the Lafzul Jalalah, which is Allah. That is the name that we will be discussing. That is the root name. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. The Asma'ul Husna itself is related to the name Allah. It is the fountainhead of all of these names. The grandest and greatest name is Allah. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all contemplate, reflect and ponder on His names. And by that may our hearts be filled with awe and admiration for Almighty Allah. And may He forgive all of our sins, accept our deeds. And may He grant us the best in this world and the hereafter. Wa akhir da'waya anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.